While we look into the Acts of the Apostles once more. There they go. Get to it. I love it. I love it. Let's dedicate them all to God. Amen? Amen. Last week we read in Acts 17 of the Apostle Paul. He was using things like reason and explanation and evidence as he made the case for Christ to the Jews in the synagogue. Jesus said in Mark 12:30, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, among other things." Heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And so last week we looked at the mind. That's exactly what Paul was doing. This was his practice and his custom. And we are going to see it again this morning in the rest of chapter 17. Paul would go into the synagogues and love God with his mind as he called out with reason and appeal. And persuasion, even, Luke says. He persuaded them with evidence and with testimonies. And so he used these things as he shared the truth and love of Christ with those around him. And we said last week, don't check your brain at the door when you become a believer in Christ. In fact, as opposed to the culture that likes to use reason as an excuse not to believe in Christ, I'm here to tell you the only way in the world that there's anything with order and reason is if we see it through the lens of the truth of God's Word and the truth of a God and Father who created all of this and brought order out of the chaos. And so don't check your brain at the door and say, well, it's just this walk of faith and, you know, I don't have to know everything. I don't have to understand. There are some things you'll never know and I'll never understand, and that's okay. But I am called and I do intend to love the Lord with my heart, with my soul, and with my mind. And that's what Paul is doing here. God gave us reason. God calls us to reason. It's a good thing to be studious with the Scriptures, to search and to study them as the Bereans did here in Acts 17. As long as knowing God is your motivation, as long as there's not some other ulterior motive, sometimes we get it mixed up and concentrate too much on the mind. And we want to know things and have the right things to say, and all of a sudden it's not about seeking God anymore. It becomes about this quest for knowledge or trying to be right all the time, and that's not what God intended. In fact, the Scripture balances that, and in Romans 10 it says, with the heart man believes. So we worship and love God and respond with our mind. We don't disengage our mind. But let's not believe that we can just have the mind only and study Scripture and somehow believe more or know God more. In fact, Jesus himself said, here's how you know Christ. We learned this last week. According to Jesus, we come to know God, according to John 14:21, not just in studying his word, but rather in obeying his word. This is how we know God, not just by reading the Bible, but by reading and responding with obedience. That's how we come to know Christ. Jesus says, whoever has my word, has my commands, and keeps them, I'll reveal myself, I'll manifest myself, I'll show myself to them. That's how Christ is known in us hearing the word and responding to him. It's not just when we sit down in a class or on a Sunday morning and talk about it, but it's when that word penetrates our mind and our heart and we say, God, I want to respond with obedience. This is how we come to know Christ. And so that was last week, and this week we're going to finish Acts 17. And we'll see Paul doing much of the same, whether it's in the synagogue or on the street, in the marketplace. And in this passage, he actually shares at the Areopagus in Athens, across from the Acropolis, the philosophical center of the world at the time. We find Paul once again making the case, engaging the minds and the hearts of anyone who would have ears to hear. And it strikes me in particular that his presentation of the true and eternal gospel of Christ that never changes, that gospel is available, accessible, it's relatable to any and every kind of person on the planet. Did you know that? So even though that gospel is eternal and unchanging, it's accessible, it's available, and it's relatable to any and every person who would just take the time to listen and respond. And I love how accessibly and relatably Paul presents the gospel here in Acts 17 without changing it or modifying it one bit, leading me to believe that it's possible for you and me to do the same thing. It's possible for us as believers and those who've received this word, the gospel of the kingdom, it's possible for us to present it in an accessible and relatable way to a world that's dying and needs it, while being true to the gospel and not trying to change it. In fact, the truth of the gospel that never changes, culture and philosophy and technology shouldn't change the gospel. The gospel should change culture and affect culture, right? Technology changes, culture changes, philosophies change, and new things come up, right? There are a lot of crazy philosophies going on in the world around us. And I'm telling you, it's not reason, it's not order, it's chaos. It's unreasonable, the things that are being said and are being pumped into brains and minds and in the airwaves and on things that we see. But the truth of the gospel doesn't change. In fact, it changes us. So then this passage beckons us to respond in kind and to do our part in making the unchanging gospel available, readily available, immediately accessible, and imminently relatable to the world that needs to hear it. So we're going to read from Acts 17, starting in verse 16. And let's remember the setting here. Paul and Silas have been hustled out of Berea in double time. They were sent out because the unbelieving Jews are seeking them out to imprison them or harm them. And they've been separated in the exit. So somehow Silas and Timothy are still there, and they shuffled Paul off and sent him over here to Athens. And Paul tells them, bring Silas and Timothy as soon as you can, but wasting no time in verse 16. Luke says that while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. And also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him. Some were saying, what would this idle babbler wish to say? Others were saying, he seems to be a proclaimer of strange gods, strange deities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is which you're proclaiming? So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I observe that you're very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him, they might reach out and touch him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live, and we move, and we breathe, and we have our existence in him. As even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he's appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer, but others said, we shall hear you again concerning this. Some even joined him and believed. Father in heaven, thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for the eternal, unchanging gospel that though it is eternal, it is somehow relatable and accessible in each and every generation through the power of your Spirit. Would you make your word relatable and accessible to us in this moment? And may we be those seekers who would reach out and touch you and grope for you and find you this morning through your word to us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Through the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen and amen. Verse 16, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. Paul was provoked in his spirit because he was observing the city. And when he observed, what did he see? He observed a city that was full of idols. Think about that for a moment. And apply that concept in your life and in mine. First of all, do we take the time to observe the city? Do we take the time to observe the culture around us and not just throw our hands up in horror or disbelief? Do we try to avoid it at all costs and just pass by on the other side, like the parable that Jesus told, so to speak, pass by and not observe it and let it provoke our hearts in some way? Do we take the time to observe, as Paul does here, what's going on around us? You know, it's pretty easy sometimes as Christ followers who are called to be different, who are called out, who are called to be separate. That's what that word consecrated means, to be set apart. These parents want to dedicate or consecrate their children, set them apart from the world, and dedicate them to God. And it's pretty easy going in that direction. We're called to do that. That's a good and right thing to do. But it's pretty easy to just go to church and have our Christian culture and our Christian church and our Christian movies, right? And it's easy to homeschool our kids. And if we're not careful, we can sequester ourselves and sequester our family even, or our church family, away from observing the things that are going on in the culture around us. And all those are wonderful things. We better be set apart, right? We should be consecrated to God. We need to dedicate our children. That's great. If you have the opportunity to teach your kids at home in a Christian way, awesome. That's terrific. These are all good things. If there's a Christian movie, great. Watch it. Super. At the same time, we can't disengage from the culture and not observe what's happening in the world around us. And if our hearts aren't provoked or moved to step out and to speak up in some way, and I'm not talking about picketing or arguing or politics here, I'm talking about provoked to reach out with the truth and the word and the love of Christ to the people and the world around us. If our hearts aren't provoked, maybe we're just not observing what's going on around us. Paul sees the culture here. He observes it. He tells them, I've examined the things that you're worshiping. You know, when you go to see a doctor and the doctor examines you, the doctor's checking things out and looking at and leaves no stone unturned, right? That's an examination. He said, I'm examining this culture and the things that you guys are worshiping. He wasn't insulated. He was set apart and consecrated. He was separate from it, but he was engaged with it. Same way Jesus was engaged with his culture, though he was set apart from it. He observed his culture and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I long to gather you together, but you wouldn't have it. His heart was also provoked from the observation that he was making. Is mine, is yours. Paul observes Athens while he waits for Silas and Timothy, and his spirit is provoked. And Luke says in verse 17 that Paul was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present, also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. I love how Paul takes this message from the synagogue into the marketplace. from the Jews to the Gentiles, to the Epicureans, to the philosophers, made no difference to him. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. Speak to everybody you can. Reason with anyone who will hear it, especially people who are curious like these philosophers. They're asking him, man, if somebody asks you, you got to be ready. You got to be prepared to give them an answer, the scripture says, for the reason, for the hope that you have in Christ. And Paul was prepared, reasoning with them. Remember, this is Athens, the epicenter of reason and philosophy, at least in their minds it was. And they were curious. We want to know what these things mean, they said to Paul. Are we prepared when curious-minded people ask us about our faith or what it means or who Christ is or why we believe? And Paul was ready for them, and he succeeded in making the truth known to them and accessible to them in this relatable gospel that he shares. And he used reason, and he accessed the culture, and he presented the unadulterated truth. He was able to do this because he knew the gospel and he observed the culture. He says in verse 23, he was examining the objects of their worship. He was separate from but engaged with the culture. And he says, I proclaim to you the God who's been otherwise unknown to you. What you worship in ignorance, I proclaim. This I proclaim to you. Did you know that there are people who are trying to worship? It's what we're created to do. It's a response that we're created to have, and you can't enjoy or appreciate life if you aren't responding to the wonder and amazing things that are around you. And there are people who are trying to worship as they were here, but they don't know God. And it's up to you to give them an introduction. It's up to you and me to, as Paul did, describe God, verses 24 to 26. He describes God. If you don't know how to do it or what to say to somebody, just describe God. That's what Paul does. He's the God who made the world and all things in it, Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't need anything. He's not served by human hands. He himself gives life and breath and all things to all people. He's made every nation of mankind. He determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation. This is the God you're trying to worship. He's unknown to you. Let me give you an introduction. Just tell somebody about the creator of the universe. Are we looking to do this in our own life and experience? Are we looking to tell people who it is they're trying to worship? We're going to do that specifically in a few weeks in our Highways and Byways outreach. Our brother Frank Lee and Eddie's going to come here, and we're going to go reach out to people on the boardwalk. Anybody who'll be willing to listen and say, hey, here's who God is. Welcome. We invite you to come and to join us in the same way that these people joined Paul in this moment. Some believed and some joined. We're going to reach out in that way. We're going to tell people about God, invite them to community. Ask them if we can pray for them. Some people are so hurt, they stop seeking. They stop worshiping, right? But some people are still curious. Some people are still wondering. Some people haven't lost that childlike heart of wonder. Are we prepared to make an introduction, to speak to people about the eternal truth, but make it accessible to them and available and relatable to them? And hear how he makes it accessible here and relates it to them in verses 27 and 28. God has created all this and provided for everyone so that they would seek God and selafao, so that they would reach out and touch him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. We have our being. We breathe. We don't take the next breath if it's not God's grace and God's Spirit inside of us. Do you see how relatable and how accessible the gospel not only is, but how Paul communicated that to people? You can tell someone, he's not far from you. This is simple. It's not complicated. We don't have to come up with some big sermon or presentation. We can just say, here's who he is, and he's right here, right now. He's accessible. He's imminent. God is not far from you. Every seeker needs to hear this, and you're the one to let them know. He's not far from you. If you feel isolated from God, someone needs to let you know. I'm here to let you know. God is not far from you. And in the same way, you're here to let someone else know. God is not far from you. You're not isolated from Him. And for the students in the preaching lab, this is another great example, a master class on preaching. Paul's sermon reveals or uncovers who God is. He reassures the listeners that He's imminently present with them while acknowledging that God is their Father. Then he tells them what they should do and why. Did you catch that? Well, first, before that, he says who God was not, or rather how they ought not to think about God in verse 29. We ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or an image formed by the art or thought of man. Don't mistake the God of the universe for something you yourselves have created. How many times do we see that in our culture? People or personas or presentations that people have created, and they bow down at the altar of worship to these things that they've conjured up artistically or technologically, bowing at the altar of AI or whatever else you can fill in the blank. Meanwhile, he's quick to remind them, and we need to be quick to remember and to remind that no, he's not. He's not a God who can be conjured by some artistic or creative expression that humanity has. He's other. He's imminent and he's with you, but he's also transcendent beyond anything here that you can create or conjure. So here's what you need to do, and here's why you need to do it, verses 30 and 31. Every message that's aimed at revealing Christ and sharing the accessible, unchanging truth of the gospel should present people with an opportunity for a response and a rationale for it, and Paul does that here. He says, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should do what? Should repent. Should turn to God. Turn away from other things. This is what you should do, and why should you do it? Because he's fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. There's a day that's coming. And I think in our culture or in our Americanism, I don't know what it is, in our fallenness, like we don't want to hear these words for some reason, or we shy away, or as believers, we're afraid to say it because maybe some fire and brimstone preacher like beat a dead horse or something 40 years ago. And so we're afraid to say things like repentance or judgment. There's a day that's coming where God will separate those who have turned to Him from those who have turned their back on Him. And we can't be afraid to say that. There's a day that's coming when you'll wish, when someone will wish that he had turned to God instead of away from Him. And Paul issues a call to repentance. He wasn't afraid to do it. Just as John the Baptist and Christ himself issued this call to turn to God. The kingdom of heaven is here. Repent and believe. Come out and be separate from the world. Engage with your culture. It's the only way you're going to be able to present the relatable, unchanging gospel to them. But our call is to turn to God. This is what you need to do, and this is why you need to do it. A day is coming when you wish that you had. And so here stands Paul, a man who had repented himself. Remember? He was a persecutor of the Christians. He was consenting to and assisting in the murder and the persecution of Christians. Here's a man who's standing, who has turned from his old ways. And he's standing across from the Acropolis, testifying to Christ, calling people to God. He's not far away. He's right here. You can't take your next breath without his mercy. Turn to him. A day's coming in which you'll wish you had. And if we're going to share the truth of the unchanging, eternal gospel of the kingdom with a dying world around us, we have to make it relatable. We have to make it plain. Here's who God is. Here's what you should do. And here's why you should do it. We make it so complicated sometimes, but it isn't. It's actually very simple, so simple that it requires a childlike heart in order to take the step of faith and respond. And Luke says in verse 34, in closing here, some joined and believed. Some. Not everyone will. Not everyone will join this walk of faith. In fact, most everyone will not. But some will. But some will believe. And some will join. And in this case, a man named Dionysius and a woman named Damaris and others, Luke says, they joined Paul and believed because he took the time to observe the culture. Because he allowed what he was observing to provoke his heart within him. His spirit was provoked. So what did he do about it? He engaged the hearts and the minds of the curious people who needed an introduction to God. And amazingly, some believed. And their lives were forever changed by the unchanging gospel that Paul made available, accessible, and relatable to them. Who might believe this week if you and I would take the time to observe the culture? Who might believe this week if my heart and your heart were provoked to respond instead of throwing our hands up in despair, but if we were provoked by the observations that we see and the idolatry in the culture around us, if we were provoked, who might believe? Who might join us in this journey of belief and faith if we would observe, if we would be provoked, if we would stand up and speak, if we would share Christ in a way that's accessible and relatable to the people around us? And as I said a few minutes ago, we're going to do that intentionally in a few weeks here, but don't wait for a church outreach, right? Don't wait for a program or someone to do it. Paul was simply waiting for his friends to arrive. If you have an in-between time where you're waiting, how about you just observe the culture and say, God, what do you want to do? Who do you want to speak to? Make me your vessel to share and make available and relatable this unchanging gospel that you want to change us. Paul was just being led by the Spirit, as I pray you also will be. We just need to open our hearts to what's going on around us, and maybe God will provoke our spirits. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this eternal word that we're hearing. Lord, we want to know you more, and I pray that we would respond to your word with obedience. Lord, first it starts with us turning to you, Lord, and it continues day by day, us continually turning to you, repenting and returning to you, Father, and calling others, sharing this truth with others. A day is coming when you would wish you had turned to God. Father, give us this same provoked heart that we see here in Scripture, Lord, as we observe the tragedies that are going on in our culture right now. Father, provoke our hearts to turn to you and to point others to you for your glory, God, for their good. Thank you, Lord, that some will believe, that some will join you in this kingdom journey, in this walk of faith. Lord, give us the courage to step up and to just find out, Lord. And for anyone who's curious, I pray, Lord, the answer, your truth, your word will be on our lips, Lord, in the ears of those who are asking for your glory. Build your church. Thank you, Jesus, that you're doing it. To the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Would you stand as we're dismissed? From Ephesians 3, to him who is able. He's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think or imagine, according to the power at work within us, not according to our power, but according to the power of his Spirit within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you go today, and may you serve to make the eternal, unchanging gospel accessible and relatable to the world around you who desperately needs it, to the glory of God. Amen and amen. God bless you. As always, we're here to pray with anyone who wants prayer. God bless you.